When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. Everything Game of Thrones now. We're back for some more of that hot D talk. Today we're going to be discussing a few new casting notes, do a trailer breakdown because they released a teaser in the interim. We're going to also be talking about some comments made by Miguel Sapochnik about showrunning versus directing and some thoughts from Kit Harington on the new show, among other things. Aaron, what do you want to start with here? Casting notes?
I feel like the most exciting thing to me the trailer.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I got a minute of new House of the Dragon footage. I guess right up front, like any observations, like, for example, did it feel like Game of Thrones?
Yes, I think it mostly did. It felt, you know, the trailer doesn't show too many dragons, right? There's like one, it says like gods, kings and blood or whatever. And when it says gods, it shows a silhouette of a dragon. So like, that's really the only dragon shot you get. So it wasn't a super exciting trailer. There's one sword fight. Yeah. I think it's tough to tell from that teaser exactly what this is going to feel like, but it has a Game of Thrones-esque feel to it, I'd say.
That's the one thing that I feel like maybe the trailer should have done is flex, or maybe they don't have the effects for it yet. But like, yeah. Show a dragon or something. Like, sure. The dragonisty thing we got is what I'm morally certain is the same giant ass dragon skull that's been Beleriand the Black Dread skull since essentially season one. So they wheel that out, they throw a couple candles in front of it.
Yep.
But yeah,
I'm not excited about that.
I thought we'd get a little bit of kind of like what we saw in previous Game of Thrones trailers, like a dragon emerging out of the gloom or something at the end of the trailer, just something to show. Now, the thing is like we talked about, Game of Thrones got people in by being a non-magical, essentially ultra plotty and treacherous political machinations set in some vaguely medieval times type of stuff.
Sure. Got me in that way.
And they just slow teased out the magic and the otherworldly stuff. I feel like this has to just have the dragons front and center because this is an era in which the Targaryens rule the sky with dragons. Yeah. They're dragon riders. They've got a whole fucking rookery full of them.
Yeah, dragons made us kings, right?
Yeah, multiple dragons on Dragonstone, multiple dragons at King's Landing. It's not some rumor. These are not chicken sized things perched on some baby queen's shoulder in a distant land. We have 747 sized dragons just kind of floating about. Maybe not that big because Beleriand at the time of this, I think, has been dead for some time, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But yeah, I did think it felt remarkably Game of Thronesy. I was also pleased. I'm assuming this is original Ramon Djawadi orchestration. Probably. Because I kind of figured they just lean on some of their earlier, you know, kind of Targaryen themes or Game of Thrones themes, and they didn't. This is something decidedly new.
Though they do a note or two of the Game of Thrones music at the very beginning, right? It changes into something, yes, very, very different and new, but like I thought I detected that very first note that they hit in the trailer is like the first note of the Game of Thrones theme song.
Maybe.
I could be wrong about that too.
The vast majority of this, like, it had like a strong martial kind of like drum beat, and it's got this like kind of like undulating choral, and it's also got a good healthy dose of like that bassy like Inception, boom, you know, like yeah. a bagpipe playing a foghorn or something. I'm not sure exactly.
Sounds
I
more
really
epic,
liked it though.
More gothic,
yeah,
something like that. Military
it
gothic,
sure does.
Which is fitting, man. Because holy shit, I don't know about you, but the most exciting part for me of this entire trailer is the. What is the opposite of updated? The retrofitted Iron Throne? That is fucking metal. I love how that spills down the stairs.
Yeah, so as a, you know, some kind of scholar of Game of Thrones canon, mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting because I wonder if... Is this like a Klingon situation where like Klingons in the old series were just essentially actors wearing bronzer with sculpted eyebrows?
Yep.
And then they show up in the motion picture and they got the turtles glued to their foreheads.
Uh-huh.
Like, what the fuck is this? Well, it's just the way Klingons are now. I wonder if they're retconning that, like, because like the thing is Martin was always a little disappointed with the show. Iron Throne. You know, if you've seen his preferred illustrations, this monstrous, misshapen, you know, asymmetrical, just it does look like guys just threw swords on a pile and a dragon breathed on it till they melt together. This is kind of halfway between that and what we had in the show. And it is cool. It is cool.
I thought so.
Yeah.
And the trailer doesn't have a lot of cool stuff. This was definitely the standout cool thing to me.
Yeah, I will. I want to talk about some things because there's a lot of stuff in this trailer. First of all, I was really happy to see them saying 200 years before a Game of Thrones because they've been doing 300 and it's been driving me fucking crazy because like 300 years is when the Targaryens first came and whipped Westeros's ass. The Seven Kingdoms are no more. It's now the one united one. 200 years is not exactly right. It's more like 107. But the thing is like, I guess I got from this trailer, we had speculated that like there's going to be flashbacks or multiple timelines because, you know, the meat of the Dance of Dragons ends with or begins in much the same way Game of Thrones did with the death of Jon Arryn. This begins with the death of King Viserys.
Right.
But we see, you know, but they're apparently going to be jumping back and forth in time. And we've seen this with some of the casting news that you're going to talk about like. The family drama and the balances of power that led to the Dance of Dragons, you know?
Yeah.
And very much the same way that like maybe Game of Thrones, if they wanted to do the same thing, they would have started with Robert's Rebellion, you know? Like why did this guy get on the throne? How did the Targaryens get like, well, let's go back 20 years and tell you. It seems like they're going to do something like that. So
yeah, our question all along has been, will that be a running part of the show or will that be kind of set up at the beginning and then we'll get into the meatier parts of it? Who knows?
Yeah, and it also has this really badass voiceover by Daemon Targaryen, played by Doctor Who, Matt Smith, where he says, you know, dreams did not make us kings, dragons did. And I feel like this is... That's the statement of this trailer, that, like, you know, we're all about Dany and her dreams and... You know, she got ousted as a little girl and she's got the dim memories of the house with the red door and all this stuff. And they were just her dreams of becoming a queen. Well, we're not talking about dreams. We're talking about dragons here. The nuclear arsenal of Westeros is fully stocked. And I like that.
Yeah.
The shrine to Balerion the Black Dread, like we talked about. We also see, I think this is King Viserys before he's dead and he's gripping the ancestral blade of the Targaryens, the Blackfyre blade. We get to see a lot of the main kind of casted players. There's this tourney footage that this seems like a part of the flashback to when King Viserys, I think, is his ascension tournament. There's this famous duel between Daemon Targaryen and Sir Criston Cole. Who's the Lord Commander of the Kingguard at this time, where Daemon had Dark Sister, the other famous Valyrian Steelblade of the Targaryens, and Sir Criston Cole whips his ass, knocks that out of his hand with a Morningstar. So we're going to see that piece of history and how eventually, you know, some bad blood there will lead the Sir Cole to essentially switch sides and fight for the opposite side in the Targaryen Civil War. I liked, so we've seen Corlys Velaryon, the kind of Han Solo-ish pirate king, naval explorer, commander of the largest fleet in Westeros. We see him and his family in motion. We've only seen a picture of him. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool. And then also, you know, we saw the thing that kind of kicks off the Dance of Dragons, Alicent Hightower, King Viserys' second wife, wearing her famous green dress.
Nice.
Did you notice what the dagger she was clutching?
No, I didn't.
So our buddy Kim Renfro wrote a whole article on this the day the trailer was released, and I had a bookmark because like, oh, I'm gonna have to. But that is the same Velaryon steel dagger that almost killed Bran until Kat grabbed onto it. Had this interesting chain of custody. Was it Tyrion's? Was it Littlefinger's? Whose was mm-hmm. it? Littlefinger gives it to Bran. I think in season 6 or season 7, Bran gives it to Arya, and Arya ends up stabbing the Night King with it.
Yeah.
What is the deal with this Blade of Destiny? Do you think it'll be just a little wink to long-term Game of Thrones watchers, or do you think there'll actually be something to this kind of, like I said, faded blade?
I imagine it's probably more of a wink. I don't know. I don't think we're going to be dealing with any Children of the Forest magic stuff happening in this, right? I doubt it.
Don't know. I mean, presumably they're still up there in the north.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I don't expect I don't expect this series to deal at all with the others, the White Walkers. Like right. at this point, they are firmly mythical legends. Mm-hmm. Like they're still hundreds of years away from menacing Westeros. It's been thousands of years since they've I wonder if they are going to set up some kind of mystical thing, because it's not like there's no mysticism in Game of Thrones.
Sure.
You know, clearly the dragons and all that shit, the pyromancers, all those people still active. But like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I can't imagine it'll be super consequential, but we'll see.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, it's like it's just a dagger. You know, mm-hmm. you got the Blackfyre and Dark Sister right there. So the day that this trailer was released, you know, I shared it on our Bald Moo Twitter account, and I thought, hey, it might be interesting. Because I don't know. Like, what is the community's temperature? You know, are people still salty about the last season of Game of Thrones?
Uh-huh.
Has been long enough that people are looking to love again? So I asked Twitter, I said, you know, rank your enthusiasm for the upcoming season of House of Dragon, the prequel series. I said, there's three options. Hell yes, I'm 100% on board. I'm definitely curious. I might check it out. And then the series is dead to me. Would you care to make any predictions about how the Bald Move community felt about this the series based on this trailer?
I want to say it was a pretty solid like bell curve here. Like,
yeah,
it's mostly distributed around the two middle ones, and the outliers are outliers.
I would have thought so too. I wasn't thinking that the haters would be the majority. I thought uh-huh. it would be, but I was blown away at how generous the community was, because 41% of the community says, hell yes,
wow.
I'm 100% on board. 36% says, I'm definitely curious. 15% says, I'll check it out. And less, or just right at 8% people said the series is dead to me.
Damn.
So you get a little distance, get a couple years mm-hmm. away from people's some you know favorite television show of all time, and
get rid of a couple of the creators. Yeah,
that's the thing. I think that like Game of Thrones season 1 through 4 almost flawless. Season 4, 5, and 6 still pretty good.
Yeah.
7, the wheels are starting to fall off. 8, in my mind, it did real damage to the series. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I guess it's good for us that people are.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's how I felt. I'm like, you know what? After I saw that trailer, I do want to go and enjoy Game of Thrones again. I'm ready to rinse the bad taste out of my mouth.
I am too, but I'm at like, I'm not quite at the hell yeah. I think I need to see a really good trailer, because I think this is a fine mediocre teaser, but show me the full length trailer. I want to see what the show has got up its sleeve, and then I might get to hell yeah. But right now I'm sitting just under that.
See, I'm saying, and it's funny because just last week, one of the best teaser trailers I've seen in my whole fucking life, like episode one, the very first teaser trailer for episode one, Star Wars, yeah. right up there. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I was so hyped for that.
Right.
The fucking Buzz Lightyear movie.
Oh,
that trailer
dude.
Was amazing.
Yeah.
And I feel like if they had put dragons, if they had been like one decent dragon on dragon battle or something, mm-hmm. there's just a little taste, because I think we'll get one in the first season. Just a little taste. I think we would have had we would have gotten these numbers up. We would have had maybe 50th percentile. Hell yes. But they've gotten Jim on the hell yes board.
I think teaser two, they know what they've got to do. They've got a mission for that one, and it's to get at least a dragon battle in there.
Yeah, we got to get it. We got to get a dragon battle. Where do you want to go now? Do you want to talk about some casting news? Because there's a lot of casting, but there wasn't a lot of like big names, and a lot of them weren't even attached to roles. So
right, and the roles that we are guessing are just guesses based on set photos and stuff. So yeah, let's go talk about that. There was one actual official confirmation, and we talked about this guy last time we did one of these roundups. It's Graham McTavish. He was seen on set last time. We weren't sure who he was going to play because the set photos didn't have much indication. Now we got official confirmation. He is playing Sir Harold Westerling, Lord Commander of Viserys' Kingsguard. He's, what, essentially the Barristan Selmy of this kingdom, I guess?
Yeah, yeah. The Lord Commander.
Before he retired, before he quit
Before he was, forcibly retired, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. And in fact, you can see him in one of the shots, I believe, when Alicent Hightower is coming forward with that fated blade. He's over her left shoulder, I think. Like, it's just like it's very blurry. You just see this imposing figure in the white enameled armor. But yeah.
So I guess get excited about that. And then the other one that is not totally confirmed on the role, we do know that he's been cast. He's been seen on set. It's Ewan Mitchell, who apparently had a fairly prominent role in The Last Kingdom on Netflix. He is most likely, based on the set photo, going to be playing Aemon Targaryen, the middlest son of King Viserys. And they know that because he's on set wearing an eye patch. And there is, I guess, a bit of backstory with this character about having his eye cut with a dagger. But one of his brothers? It sounds treacherous. It sounds horrible.
He's missing an eye, and he's got this kind of like elaborate socketed ruby or sapphire in its place. I think it's a sapphire. It's a blue sapphire in its place.
Nice.
He reminds me a little bit of like Euron Greyjoy. He can sort like his paramour, his lover is described as a witch. He's got a very uncanny kind of, you know, with that fucking crystal eye, though, like you said, he according to the stories, he did wear an eye patch at the court to not scare women and small children with his otherwise imposing ability. He's kind of like on small and scrawny, but fierce.
Gotcha.
Like, you know, it's one of those, not the size of the dog in a fight. It's the size of the fight in a dog. And I can't like they're also like he's very important in what's going to probably be one of the most badass battles duels of all time. But I literally can't say more than that because it's going to be a massive spoiler for probably season 3, season 4, however long this thing's going to go.
Yeah.
But it's a real thing. It's a real thing as described in Fire and Blood. The Targaryen history, the fake Targaryen history by George Martin. I guess it's the real Targaryen history if he's writing it.
Sure is. Fake
Targaryens. Yeah. And he's a green. He's playing for the wrong. I don't know who's. That's the thing. Is like, do you have any idea of like who you're rooting for?
No, not yet.
Are you rooting for the OG Targaryens, or are you rooting for the jumps, the upstarts?
I mean, I feel like as someone who's not a huge fan of patriarchy for patriarchy's sake. I feel like Rhaenyra, you know, she got promised this thing. Why are we going to take it away from her? She's the eldest, right? Or no.
The thing is
she is the eldest, right?
So I recently reread this stuff because I'd covered this when Fireblood came out. You know, previously we just had a few paragraphs in World of Ice and Fire and some legends from the Game of Thrones main sequence, The Song of Ice and Fire. We got Fire and Blood, and like suddenly, you know, Dance of Dragons comes to life. You know, you got a long page narrative of this. It's not like a real narrative. It's like if you read a Wikipedia article about the Civil War, you know, that it's kind of like that. That's the level of detail you get into. So you don't really get into like the characters and motivations. It's more of like an oral history where you're going around talking to everybody about it. And there's different points of view. And oh, Maester such and such says this, but Mushroom the Fool says this and right. all that back and forth. But I remember I was reading, and I was just like, I kept on thinking, who am I rooting for? Because ultimately, I just felt bummed out that it was happening to everybody. Hmm. Like, there was good people with good motivations on both sides.
Yeah.
And, like, I found individual people to root for. But, yeah. like, which side? It's a tougher. I mean, I don't know. I feel like if I had to choose, it'd probably be the people who, quote unquote, the rightful, you know, were supposed to have the rightful passage of power, supposed to and not the upstarts.
If those people are shits, I also won't want them ruling, right? I'd rather them be passed over. So yeah, it's like the Lannisters. I didn't want to rule Westeros in Game of Thrones because they're shits.
Yeah. But it's like I think I like Prince Rhaenyra, but I didn't like Daemon, you know, her husband. It's one of those things. It's like I never could find like one faction that I'm like 100% for or against. But yeah, he'll be interesting. I can't wait to see how they bring him to life. The other one that I saw attached to a name was Rosa Escoda, who has been cast as a young Miseria. Now Miseria is the I'm not speaking of witches. She's the mistress of whispers, the mysterious personages that's played in the adult form by Sonoya Mizuno.
Okay,
The lady from Ex Machina. She also was fantastic in Devs mm-hmm. a couple years back. So yeah, she starts off. You know, there's all these archetypes that like feel like that come up again and again. Kind of like Aemond is a little bit of Euron Greyjoy. This I get big Melisandre vibes.
Yeah, makes you sense. Know,
she was kind of like a lowborn dancer, pleasure servant that, you know, rises up in the ranks because of some arcane mystic ability. And, you know, there's a lot of spiritual similarities there, I think, in these characters. Any other casting news or?
No, that was all I saw. There wasn't a ton of it.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off badass season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of King's Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
Here are the weekly highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
Apple TV is releasing a new series based on Blake Crouch's novel Dark Matter.
Aaron and I are big fans of his work, so we're picking up the new show on day one. Join us this Wednesday for the preview podcast.
The Shogun Limited series might be over, but that doesn't mean our Shogun coverage has to end. We've got the wrap-up podcast releasing this Tuesday, where we'll consider all your feedback and final thoughts on a series. And because we like the show so much, we decided to go all the way back to 1980 to cover the first TV adaptation of the novel. Do what you can to find a copy and join us this Thursday for the first of our four-part podcast on the 1980 Shogun miniseries.
And finally, the latest first-run movie, The Fall Guy, features Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling. He's a stuntman tasked with finding the star of his ex-girlfriend's movie when he suddenly goes missing. Is it a rom-com? Yes. Does that mean I'll automatically hate it? Not if the trailer lives up to its promise. Join us for the podcast on Bald Move Pulp this Thursday night.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
What did you think of Miguel Sapochnik? So he was the director of some of the best episodes, you know, standalone episodes of Game of Thrones, you know, Hard Home, Battle of the Bastards. If you had a big fucking set piece battle that you wanted to get the fanboys and girls whipped up into a frenzy for, you send in Sapochnik and he would get the goddamn job done. Yeah. He has been rewarded for that service by being promoted to showrunner. He's one of the many executive producer showrunners. And he has been doing a press junket for this new project, this post-apocalyptic film he's doing called Finch. I don't know anything about that project, but I saw an interview with him from the Hollywood Reporter. Did you see that interview? What did you make of it?
I read a bit of it. I read some of the quotes, and it sounds like you say blessed by getting a promotion. I'm not so sure.
Rewarded.
It's not a curse.
Yeah,
based on his thoughts on it, he says he really enjoys the days where he just gets to be a director.
Right.
Because, yeah, there are so many moving parts on this. I bet it's hard to keep the logistics in hand.
Reminds me of a programmer that gets promoted to middle management. And it's like, I just want to write code. And now I'm dealing with customers and fucking other programmers. They're the worst. And. Mm-hmm. Because, he's talking about you got to worry about budget and you got to worry about personnel issues and all that
COVID,
kind of stuff.
Right? Shutting down
COVID,
your productions.
Right? Right, right.
That just happened recently.
Getting into a lot of minutia, which I think is probably satisfying when you're actually, you know, deciding looks and feels and stuff like that. But also... compared to the simplicity, which I think directing is a very complicated job, but he's like, it's simple by comparison to being a producer.
Right.
He also had some comments on the feel of the show. I thought I'd just read some of this. He says, they asked him about how's the look and feel and tone of the show versus Game of Thrones? And he says, I think we're very respectful of what the original show is. It wasn't broken. Asterisk. So we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. Yeah, so Danny, she couldn't. She tried to break the wheel. It's still there and intact. They don't have to reinvent it. House of the Dragon has its own tone that will evolve and emerge over the course of the show. But first, it's very important to pay respect and homage to the original series, which is pretty groundbreaking. We're standing on the shoulders of that show. We're only here because of that show. The most important thing for us to do is respect it as much as possible and try to complement rather than reinvent it. I was involved in making the original show, so I feel like that's been useful. He's not there saying, he says, I'm not there saying, let's change anything. Let's do a different color palette because he likes the color palette. So
I think this is a good idea. I think, you know, sticking at first with what's familiar to fans, because apparently based on our Twitter poll, fans don't have such a sour taste in their mouth. They wouldn't be down for another bite. So yeah, if you do want to do something different, get there eventually. Or, you know, the HBO has a lot of other projects in the works around Game of Thrones in this universe. Mm-hmm. If they want to take risks, maybe get your tent pole set up first and build your risks out around that. Right. And with this, play it a little more close to what the audience expects, I think, of a Game of Thrones prequel or sequel.
It is. It's something. It's not that I'm not worried about this project at all, because I'm excited for it. But it reminds me a lot of the original Star Wars, and Lucas always says, I've got this trilogy of trilogies and, the real stories about this Darth Vader guy. But, But he picked them, like, it's in his mind, seemingly arbitrarily picked the middle trilogy. I don't know whether he just accidentally got the most, you know, exciting things, a version of the story to tell, or whether, like, Star Wars, because, like, most people don't care much for the prequels. I don't really care much for the sequels either. But, like, it feels like they're a little stuck too much, like, in that. Like, you always have, you know, of course you got the droids, they say the same, but, like, you know, Amidala is very much like Leia.
Mm-hmm.
And Anakin is much like Luke, except for, you know, he fell at the end instead of redeeming himself. And even they tried to beat Obi-Wan Kenobi into a Han Solo shape in the second movie. Sometimes you can get, like I like this tension that Miguel's talking about here, where it's like, you know, you want to definitely get the fans more of what they want. They want to see the cat's paw dagger, and they want to see their Valyrian steel and their dragon. But also, you can't just be Game of Thrones greatest hits with a different skin, because you know, people don't want that. We saw Game of Thrones. So and you know, also one of the things about Game of Thrones that's distinctive is, yes, you had the human drama, but underneath everything was the pressure cooker of the others. Like, if you don't get your shit together, the others are going to come and kill everyone. What will replace that pressure, if anything?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. Yeah, because it feels like a trimmed down version. And if you're just going to remix greatest hits in a slimmer version, that feels less interesting. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I'm hopeful because he says, like, hey, we want to evolve this, but we're going to start out pretty similar.
Yeah. What'd you think of Kit Harington? Because he's doing a press junket for the Eternals project. Which we're going to check that out Thursday night and have a full review on boldmove.com. If you're only a Game of Thrones and you don't, it's over on, what is that going to be, on Boldmove Pulp? Yeah, for sure. Pulp. But yeah, people, you know, because a trailer dropped and all that, people asked him his opinion on what it's like seeing the next generation of Game of Thrones people. You want to interject something you said?
Oh yeah. I didn't watch this or look at it or read it or whatever it was, whether it was a video or a quote or whatever in an article, because it might be controversial, but I don't really give a shit what actors who aren't going to be in the show have to say about the show. But that's just me. So,
yeah, it's one thing if, like, it's the first, like, let's say, like, you go back in the time machine and you ask Sean Connery what he feels like to be replaced as James Bond. You know, you had one singular guy and he'd done it for a long time and now you're past the torch. But like,
if there was a Jon Snow in this episode, in this series,
If like this was a sequel that's like 40 years in the we got old ass Jon Snow still Lord Commander of whatever the fuck the Wall is at this point. Like, maybe I would be curious to see what he thought about it. But yeah. What Kit said, he goes, I think to see people, they asked him what that felt like. He goes, I think to see the people in the outfits and the costumes, the ones that resembled the ones we wore for all those years. It's the same music style and tone. It's always going to feel some sort of rawness there, you know, like,
Like, I think
he's got
there
a lot of nostalgia for the, he says, of course I'm going to watch it. I'm going to support Miguel, who's helming the show. Wish him all the best, but it's so close to my heart, that story, that of course there might be a bit of pain there.
Sure.
Do you think he's referring just in the fact that like the show was over, or the fact that it does feel raw? Because I don't know whether this was a meta universe or this is a meta story told by the fans and the bitter people in r/free folk. But it did seem like there was a kind of sentiment among a lot of the cast that this wasn't exactly the ending that they wanted either. You know, you can remember the cast reading between Emilia Clarke and Kit Harington when they both found out, and they're both kind of like cringing and like, oh my God. Sir Barristan hated how he got written out. I think the guy who played Varys wasn't a big fan. A lot of discontent. And I saw those videos. It was on HBO.com. Kit seemed like, he wasn't that into it. So maybe I wonder if that's where some of the rawness is coming from.
Could be.
Speaking of rawness, so up until now, I feel like that a lot of the material has been pointing to a spring release. That was kind of Game of Thrones traditional release time. I think 1 year It came out in July, maybe season 5 or 6, but the majority of the years came out in like this spring, like a March, late March, early April kind of thing. The last few things up until like a week or two ago, all of the articles I was reading, all the videos I was watching referenced that spring start point. But I noticed a couple weeks ago they started referring to potential summer release. And I also saw an article that said that their unit that was filming in Caceres, I don't know what the how to pronounce this Mediterranean place. But there's a unit there that got shut down because of a COVID illness, and they had to shut down for like 3 or 4 weeks, and they just are going to resume, I think this week, November 3rd. I wonder, you know, when we just talked to David S. Goyer, who's, you know, had a lot of challenges making a big budget sci-fi epic foundation for Apple because of COVID, all the challenges, and it took him like 4 years to bring this. I wonder if that date is going to be set, like if we're going to definitely get it in the summer, or if we might still get it in the spring, or if you know, things get worse around the world, if that thing will keep slipping.
Well, I'm looking here, I'm reading on winteriscoming.net, and it appears it might have been delayed significantly longer, because the last line in their article here is, delays or not, House of the Dragon is scheduled to premiere on HBO and HBO Max sometime in 20,222 is the year they've got up here. So
we is in the foundation. Like I'll have to be part of the genetic dynasty of the clone emperors to partake in this. Wow. Wow.
Obviously a typo, but hilarious. It'll probably come out in summer. I think the COVID has done them no favors, and it's hard to predict that stuff. Because, you know, how do you know if some crew member went out to a bar and ended up with COVID and then brought it back and another 3 week shutdown, you know?
You just never know. So we'll see. We'll see how things play out. We are going to flip the keys back to the Game of Thrones feed, back to Maester Anthony, who's going to continue his Bukaloo coverage of the original Game of Thrones novel. I'm going to be joining them on this segment or this section batch. I've got one of the that's not a spoiler for a Game of Thrones feed. One of the final Ned Stark chapters. I'm not sure if it's the final one or if it's like getting there. Or he's just one of those where he's languishing in the dungeon. I think it's the one where Littlefinger. Yes, yeah, because it's the one where Littlefinger gets him at the end, puts the knife to his throat. Said, I told you I shouldn't trust. It's that chapter. So I'm looking forward to discussing that with my buddy Anthony. He's got great guests coming up for the next season, and we're excited to get that coverage back. Probably get at least one more, maybe two, depending on when this thing drops. Because that's the thing. Anthony does 10 episodes. We do a little catch up for House of Dragon, and we go back and forth on that. But I am excited. I'm in the I'm in the hell yeah.
Oh,
I want to be excited. I'm going to love again and allow myself to be disappointed. But the more I see this, the more excited I get. And just like, because the other thing is like, even we know a lot about, and we also have the ending of all this. This is all like, you know, this isn't like the original. But what we don't have is. Like I feel like we all, if you read Fire and Blood, you all have the infamous Martin bullet points, right? But what we don't have is the beat by beat, minute by minute, the personal story, the personal connection, everyone's motivations and all that stuff. And that's what I'm looking forward to get in this. You know, we got an ending, and now it's just about how the characters play and how they deal with it.
And telling the true story, right? Because if you're talking about Martin having written, you know, maybes and hearsay and stuff like that, this will be a definitive. You can't really do hearsay in video form, right?
It's true. You're gonna there's definitely going to be, and again, there are some jaw-dropping set pieces. Nice. And I'm sure they'll probably invent even more. So we'll be back in 10 to 12 weeks to do another. Hopefully we'll have another trailer, we'll have some more casting news, we'll get a release date. It'd be very nice. I would love to be able to start planning my summer vacations and my spring breaks and all that kind of stuff. But until HBO lets us know, we're kind of at their mercy. So anyway, I hope you get enjoyed this brief catch up podcast for House of the Dragon. Hot D. as Jim's christened it, and we'll see you back in a couple months. Actually, I'll see you in a couple weeks when I do the Ned chapter with Anthony. Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
See you soon.